And we're back. You're listening to a Shun Piker's Journal on the Michigan Business Network. Our guest is Jonathan Klinger. He's the Vice President of Public Relations for Hagerty Insurance in Traverse City, and we're talking about flood-damaged collector cars in Texas. Oh, what a tragedy. Jonathan, you were talking about how insured cars get paid off in this sort of situation, and you referred to the salvage value. How is that salvage value determined? Do you send appraisers down to a situation like this? And I mean, you'd have to have a bunch of appraisers, I would think. How does that all work?
Well, we do have a bunch of appraisers in the area inspecting vehicles, particularly ones of higher value, if you need to make a decision looking at the vehicle in person before deciding if it's totaled or not. But as far as determining the salvage value of the vehicle, and this is not unique to just Hagerty, we go through a company, a national company called Copart, and they are a salvage vehicle auction company, and they will take a photo and description of the vehicle and put it up as a, essentially called a virtual bid, but they put it up for bid, and whatever it's bid up to, meaning that people will, if they were willing to buy the salvaged vehicle, knowing full well what damage it's had, that's what determines the salvage value. So it goes out to the open market, and it can be $1,800, it could be $8,000 if it was, you know, some really rare vehicle that has a lot of value in the sum of its parts. And so it's every case is different, but oftentimes you're looking at less than 20% of the insured value of the vehicle, just on average.
On the average, okay. So will most of your insured cars be managed just with photographs and that sort of thing without having to send an appraiser?
Up to a certain value amount. It's pretty easy to make a judgment call on a vehicle that is more of your entry level price, so your $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 vehicle. Once you start getting above $50,000 and certainly above $75,000 and $100,000, that's a different conversation, because if you think about it, anything can be fixed. Any car could be fixed. It's just if it makes sense financially to fix it.
Right.
From that, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So if you had a $1 million car and it gets completely submerged and it's floating around and it eventually dries, it makes sense to fix it. Let's say it costs $400,000 to fix the car. It still makes sense to fix that car and it won't be totaled.
Yeah.
The same can be said for $100,000 car. If it can be fixed for $60,000 to $70,000, it makes sense to fix it. And of course, we love to see great old cars saved.
Oh, absolutely.
And because some people like to sit there and debate, well, does this impact the value of it, the fact that it's gone through a flood? Well, it may not be as attractive to some people if it was to be resold even after it's been fixed in the near term. But you have to ask yourself philosophically, what's more important long term? Is it, you know, 50, 100 years from now, it's the fact that the car still exists, and that just becomes one part of its story.
Right, right. Well,
the majority of these collector vehicles have been restored at one point in its life.
Right.
So,
and a good share of the other
key thing that I would like to point out, though, is it becomes a different conversation when it becomes more modern vehicles with computerized systems and more sophisticated electronics and more sophisticated wiring harnesses, that becomes much more complex, which means more expensive to fix a vehicle versus a much older, simpler collector car.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, you're insuring, I mean, there's collector cars made in the 2000s, early 2000s and so forth. Well, exotics.
We'll share a brand new car, depending on what it is.
Right, if it's something particularly special, yeah. Well, I was going to comment that we all know people who have spent way more than a car's worth on its initial restoration. So,
absolutely.
So it's not surprising they would want to keep the car even after something like this and do a second restoration, particularly if it was an older restoration. It was ready to be fixed anyway, maybe. So
yeah, and the thing I will say is, especially if it's fresh water, I mean, again, it's terrible when a car gets flooded, but they can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to do is start acting on it right away. Oftentimes what happens is, and you can just imagine what you're going through, your entire home's been flooded. So of course, the first thing you're thinking, personal safety. The second thing you're thinking is, I need to get back into my home so I can live in my house. And it's very easy for the car to get shoved out to the side or get shoved in the backyard, and I'll deal with that later. But that causes more troubles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you want to do, the first thing you do is disconnect the battery. If that battery hasn't been disconnected, disconnect it, because the last thing you want is current going through an electrical system that's been wet. because that's just going to cause more damage. Right. And then the next thing is get the doors open, the trunks open, everything open, get things dried out as quick as you possibly can. And it probably makes sense if you have the ability, rip up the carpet, maybe pull off the seat covers so the foam can start drying. Because the last thing you want is to create an environment where mold and mildew starts to develop. And then if you get the car dried out, and again, especially if it hasn't been impacted by salt water, if you get the car dried out and the electrical system deactivated, the battery disconnected, then it can sit for a while. The other important thing, flush all the fluids. So if there's any sort of water that got into the engine crankcase or transmission, whether it's you or you have someone come do it, change the fluids right away, get the water out of those systems, and get fresh fluid in there.
And if that water... That water
going to start doing damage. Yeah.
If it was over the engine, I mean, it's that water's inside your engine if that water was that high.
Absolutely.
And that's terrible. Well, Jonathan, it's been fascinating talking to you. I just feel so bad for all these people that have lost cars, particularly the classic and collector cars that are, in many cases, irreplaceable. But you've given us some great insights today. So we'll have you back another time to talk about some more positive things that are happening at Hagerty, like the Great Race and the Drive Home and all of those things that we've all been involved in. So thanks again for being with us today, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve.
Okay, Jonathan and Dorton, enjoy your time there on Coastal Carolinas. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And when we come back, we'll be talking to our friends at Continental about some self-driving cars that we saw up at Traverse City this year. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Michigan Business Network.